שרשי. Good morning. We had a busy day of oral arguments this morning. We have four cases that will be argued here. We have one case that we have accepted on briefs, and we're attending to that matter right now. The first case is Dish Network, LLC versus Soundview Innovations, LLC, docket number 22-1627. Mr. Williams, you reserved 3 minutes of your time for rebuttal, is that correct?
3 minutes. Is
3 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. And may it please the Court. The Board here based its decision on a misunderstanding of the combination that was proposed by petitioner below. It essentially analyzed the wrong obviousness theory. And there are some cases from this Court, at least, that establish on those facts that the Board's decision should be vacated so that it actually analyzed the correct ground that was presented to the Board.
But vacated, you're not seeking reversal just if we find a misreading of the petition, correct?
I mean, our brief does seek that. I think that's an unlikely remedy in view of generating other cases.
Do you think Polygroup or any other case compels us to actually find a patent invalid if the Board just simply misunderstands what's being argued?
It certainly doesn't compel you to do that, Your Honor. I think the most likely remedy that would be appropriate here for essentially analyzing the wrong combination is a do-over and to get the correct analysis. So I think that's right. That said, we do cite cases that show that in some circumstances, this Court can reverse the Board because, the evidence, I think, is uncontroverted in terms of the validity under the correct theory of invalidity. However, I do agree that probably the more cautious approach and probably, frankly, more correct would be remedied. Let me just address the Board's misunderstanding because it is explicit in the final written decision. I think it's helpful to point out where I think the Board has shown this misunderstanding. In the final written decision, this is appendix page, starting on appendix page 27, the board says numerous times that it is adopting patent owner's contention that the petitioner relied on a central control scheme of Vishlitsky. And they say this, for instance, on appendix page 27, petitioner relies on a central control scheme because the controllers assign client requests to an appropriate screen server. And there the board is talking about Vishlitsky's controllers. Again, at the bottom of that page, the board goes on to say, again, this supports the notion that petitioner utilizes Vishlitsky's central control to route requests, which is essential to petitioner's mapping of the determining step of claim one. And then again on page 28, the next page, around the middle of the first full paragraph, the board again says, yet petitioner expressly relies on Vishlitsky's admission control program, which runs on controller servers, to teach the determining step of claim one. Now, in every one of those instances, the board is simply wrong, and I think it's confusing.
Even if we agree with you on all of that, and I do find the board's reasoning on this part a little confusing, don't you still have a problem with motivation to combine? The board made a finding of fact that we can only review for substantial evidence that a reasonable that a skilled artisan would combine a live streaming device with a video on demand device. And it seems to me that there's substantial evidence for that.
Well, let me address that point, Your Honor. I appreciate the question, because it was the second point I wanted to address, but I'm just going to turn to it. It sounds like the court already has a pretty good understanding of where the board went wrong on the first issue. My response to that is I think you can't, first, I don't think it's possible to disaggregate the board's mistake on the first issue with that second issue because I think it just misunderstood the combination. The combination was fairly simple. Gagin itself teaches a live streaming system. It also contemplates on demand, by the way, and it says explicitly that those live streams can be saved and long-term storage to be replayed on demand. But certainly we're relying on it for the live portion of Gagin.
Counselor, just a little bit on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree that Vishlitsky relates to video on demand and Gagin is related to live video streaming?
Yeah, and so correct. Yes, I agree with that.
I disagree with that.
The only quibble I have with it is that Gagin also talks about on demand. So Gagin,
right? But we're not in an on demand world here. I mean, if you were trying to invalidate an on-demand patent, you might have a good argument. 5AC, you're trying to invalidate a live streaming packet, and Vizhlitsky doesn't have anything to do with live streaming.
That's correct. That is correct. You're right. We don't deny that. But we do say it's certainly, I mean, there's no argument that it's not analogous.
If that's the case, then how can you have a combination?
Yeah. So let me just address that. The combination, which again, I think this is where the board was confused, the combination proposal is just Gigan, the only change we're making. So Gigan already has a buffer, right? He is a live streaming service with a buffer, so he's storing the lecture in the buffer.
Look, I get all that. That's all going to your main point about how they misread Vizhlitsky and what you need from it.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are arguments on both sides on that. You know, I think that was a harder one. But even if I would agree with you that a skilled artisan would have combined these two, that's not my job. My job is to see if there's substantial evidence or not. And it seems to me kind of self-obvious that if you're going from a video on demand, which has all kinds of different issues, to live streaming, which is intent on not interrupting the live stream and keeping it as close in time as possible, that those are two different, you know, endeavors. Certainly they're analogous. I don't think anybody really challenged that. But just because they're analogous doesn't mean there's a motivation to combine. And once the board found no motivation because a skilled artisan wouldn't look at a video on demand, wouldn't look at a video on demand patent to supply anything to a live stream, I don't understand how we can overturn that factual finding.
Okay, so let me just address this head on, and then I'll back up and explain what I was trying to get to a second ago. But you're pushing on exactly, you know, obviously the key issue. So on page 31 of the final written decision is, I think, where we see this factual finding that you're alluding to, Judge Hughes. So this is appendix page 31, which is the final written decision. And the first full paragraph on the page says, we agree with Patner that petitioner has not shown why or how the advantages from sliding windows for popular movies touted by Vizhlitsky are applicable to live streaming as taught in Gigan. As noted by Patner, live streaming does not allow for preloading of content in RAM windows. So this is, again, page 31. That was the factual finding that supported this decision that you're alluding to, Judge Hughes.
But it goes on and talks about various advantages and disadvantages. And it says, this functionality does not apply to live stream.
Yeah, and correct. And that, it's just right.
So
it's false.
I mean, I read that, and maybe, you know, they haven't stated it so explicitly, but it seems to me that what they're saying is, Vizhlitsky doesn't apply to live streaming. And that a skilled artisan wouldn't have looked to it.
But to make that argument, you would have had to say they're not analogous, right? You wouldn't have looked to it means you wouldn't, it's not an analogous reference. They don't say that. What they say is what I just quoted. They say that the advantages of a sliding window from Vizhlitsky would not apply to live content because, they say, live streaming does not allow for preloading of content in RAM windows. That's
Do you think
that's
that if something's analogous, that it's per se
no.
motivation?
No.
That sounded like what you just said to me.
No, but the way I heard you articulate the argument was that you wouldn't have looked to the video on demand references in the first place. And that is analogous argument, which was not made below. Again, there's no dispute that it's analogous. So you would have looked at it. Then the question is, what would you have garnered from it? And would you have been motivated to
buy it? I guess my question is, and probably this is better, given to your friend, but so you can have a chance too. What evidence did the board cite for this conclusion, and why is it not substantial?
Yeah, correct. So that was the only evidence they cited is what I just recited, which is from the patent owner's reply, and it's quoting a paragraph from their patent owner's expert's declaration, page 57. But the statement is just not supported by substantial evidence because it's wrong. It says live streaming does not allow for preloading of content in RAM windows. The board was under the impression that you don't use buffers in live streaming. It's just not true. Gigan specifically has a buffer for live streaming. That's figure 5 of Gigan. It's shown on, which we talk about extensively in the petition. There is already a buffer in Gigan for live streaming. So the board's statement there that, you wouldn't use this a buffer for live streaming, it just flies in the face of what Gigan has already taught you. Gigan itself already teaches you to use a live buffer. The only change we made, the only tweak we had to make to Gigan to satisfy this claim is that buffer would be a sliding window buffer. Because Gigan doesn't say. Gigan doesn't teach you what kind of buffer it is. It could be any buffer. And so the question is, would you have used a sliding window buffer And the answer is, sure, because that is one of the ways you can implement a buffer in streaming video. It doesn't matter at that point whether it's live or not, right? And in fact, as we point out in our reply, there's even more reasons why you'd use a sliding buffer when you're dealing with live video, because there's only a certain amount of video. There's a short period of time.
If you rely on the sliding window, don't you also have to rely on the rest of the central control functionality?
Yeah, no, that's the part that I think...
That was a problem you had.
That was the first issue, which the board just completely misunderstood. Gagan itself already teaches that. So our petition at page 1687, relies on Gagan to assign the incoming requests to particular buffers. Gagan has that functionality built in. The board is complaining that we didn't show how you would combine the Schlitzky's version of that functionality to Gagan, but we didn't have to because that wasn't a combination. It was just a straw man that the board was attacking. So as you see, in the appendix, page 1687, our petition relies on Gagan for this. As we say, Gagan teaches that if a later time user connects, that user can take advantage of the seam screen produced for first user 10 by having it duplicated. Thus, this subsequent request would be received at the proxy so that it, meaning Gagan's proxy, could determine whether it could provide the duplicated seam screen. So Gagan already had that functionality into it. We weren't using Vyshlitsky's central control at all. All we needed from Vyshlitsky is the idea that when you're sending video to a user from a server, you can use a sliding window. That's it. There was nothing remotely interesting or inventive about that. It was just one way you can implement a buffer. So that's the ground that the board should have considered. And we had substantial evidence. We have more of it. All of the evidence points in favor of that being an analogous type of buffer.
Yeah, I'm curious on your last statement, because it seems to me that most of your brief and your arguments here today, you're simply trying to convince us that the board got it wrong factually. And I don't see any legal argument, and it's okay to argue the factual component here.
Okay.
But you're confronted with the standard of review of substantial evidence.
Yeah, I agree. But the reason we cited the two cases that we talked about with Judge Stark was because one of the bases you can vacate for lack of substantial evidence is when the board misunderstands the actual ground that's presented. Like, DISH paid $40,000 to the PTAB to consider a particular rationale for a combination, and we're entitled to have the board analyze that combination, not the different combination that it actually analyzed here. But to your point, let me just be direct about it, Judge Rain. I think we have two issues here. One is that legal issue that the board analyzed the wrong thing. All the factual findings may be fine, but they're irrelevant to the actual dispute that was presented to it. So that's a legal issue. And then the second is the one Judge Hughes just raised, which is, well, even if they got it wrong, maybe they have this second reason that would be sufficient to defend the result below. And my response to that is, no, that was not sufficient, because there's the only evidence that they quote there is the expert's assertion from the patent owner that there would be no buffer in a live stream, and that is completely inconsistent with what Gagan teaches.
Can you get into your rebuttal?
I'm going to reserve the rest of the time.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Counselor Henderson, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
All right. You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May I please the court? I don't believe my friend on the other side disputes that there are two independent bases for Your Honors to affirm the court's decision. One is based on petitioner's failure to show how the two combinations that have fundamentally different principles of operation based on the central control of Vyshlitsky can become one. Separately, the fact that petitioner has not shown a motivation as to how or why a Posita would have combined Vyshlitsky's sliding windows for his video on demand system into Gagan's live boxes.
Can you first address, though, whether the board misread the petition? What standard of review do we apply on that? And doesn't it seem from A27 and 28 and other parts that they really did evaluate something different than they were asked to evaluate?
No, please allow me to address that question. So the standard is an abuse of discretion standard, and they have cited those cases on page 18 of our opening brief. Now, I would like to highlight that the issue of a motivation based on the inapplicability of the video on demand system to live broadcast has no bearing on the combination as to whether it relies on control or not. So if you're honest, for example, where to look at the appendix page 31, the final written decision states, we agree with patent owner that petitioner has not shown why or how the advantages from sliding windows for popular movies chartered by this whiskey are applicable to live streaming as part of gaming. This has no relation to whether the combination uses or does not use central control.
What's the evidence for that conclusion?
Yes. So we submitted many, many pages of our expert testimony explaining why that is the case. And for example, on page 27 of our opening or response brief, we have cited cases that explain expert testimony, especially when it relies on the evidence of record, is in and of itself substantial evidence of the board's ruling. Now, so the first point is the motivation issue doesn't depend on the specifics of whether the combination relies on control or not. But then let me move on to the next point, which is Wyszynski is a video on demand system. The reason it uses a sliding window is the following. So you have a full video, imagine Forrest Gump, and it wants to offload that video into the buffer. Not all of that video is going to fit into the buffer, so it's going to divide that video into, for example, four windows. When the user arrives, it's going to assign the user to the right streaming server that has a portion of the video that the user wants. Now, because once the user reaches the end of that window, which basically doesn't want to have to reassign the user to another streaming server, the user makes these windows sliding, so it moves with the user. None of that has any application to live broadcast system. And petitioner's motivation, and I would like to highlight this, petitioner's motivation for the combination is exactly what you just said. So for example, if you're on the recap petition at page 34, which is appendix page 1693, the petition says that Posita would have found it obvious to implement Wyszynski's sliding windows into Gideon, quote, at least because Wyszynski teaches that it is advantageous to pre-configure traffic to the buffer. Appendix page 1944, which is the petitioner's reply before the board, confirms that. So the motivation they use or they rely on to implement the sliding windows from Wyszynski into Gideon's live broadcast is the advantages touted by Wyszynski itself, and we submitted an expert declaration point by point going through those advantages, showing why none of those advantages apply to live broadcast. And the board spent many pages addressing one by one each of those issues. So for example, Your Honor's look at appendix page 31 for the board's discussion about preloading the buffer, but that's not all the board looked at. So if Your Honor's were to go to appendix page 32, the board has stated, we have also considered petitioner's reply argument that Wyszynski teaches allocating a new RAM window and loading it with data when the resources are limited. So the board, and then it goes on for about two pages of addressing that issue, the board one by one assessed each advantage of sliding windows in Wyszynski and determined that those advantages are not applicable to live broadcast. So that basis alone, as especially is supported by our expert testimony, is sufficient to affirm the board's ruling based on the substantial evidence rule, because it has no relation on whether the combination relies on control or not control.
Could you just address directly the point on 831 where the board says live streaming does not allow for preloading of content in RAM windows, but yet Gagan seems to say that that can happen?
Yes, so Gagan does not preload a live broadcast on RAM. It does not.
It does use buffers, though.
It uses buffer. There's no question that a buffer can be used. In the context of Gagan, and that is addressed on opening with pages 41 and 42, the fact that Gideon has a buffer has no bearing on whether that buffer is preloaded, is a sliding window, or not a sliding window. What Gideon does is the following. Gideon says, I want to broadcast a live stream, but the connection may not be stable, so I may lose 20% of my connection. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to request the same stream from four different sources with the idea that if each one loses 20%, they are not going to be overlapping 20%. So when I receive them, I have a sequencer which fills in the blank and sends out that completed stream. So it has an in-out buffer with a sequencer in between. That has no bearing on whether you can preload
Is that aspect of Gigan ever recognized in the final written decision?
The fact that Gigan is a seeming, yes. If the final written decision then it explains how Gigan operates, it does explain that it operates based on a seeming. And I would also point to citation, but at the oral argument before the board, the issue came up as to whether the petitioner does rely on Gigan's seeming, and they do. It related to arguments that are not the basis for appeal. But yes, the final written decision specifically discusses Gigan and the fact that it uses seeming. One of the other points that counsel, my friend pointed out in the briefing.
I guess the one thing that troubles me about the other argument that really won't be combined is it does seem to me that you're compared close to saying the reason this combination doesn't work is you don't show how the streaming windows, the actual structure of the streaming windows in the Schwitzky would be imported into Gigan. And if that's the case, that's wrong, isn't it?
Is that the central control issue or the motivation issue? Because I'm not sure I understood it.
No, not the motivation issue.
The central issue. So let's move on to the...
On the other part of actually being able to combine it. The board's decision was a little confusing to me, but it does seem to me at the point they say the petitioner did not show how you take the Schlitzky's sliding windows and incorporate them into... And what they mean by that is you have to show physically how the controllers in the Schlitzky would work in Gigan. That's a legal thing.
If that were the case, if the board had in fact tried to do a physical incorporation, that would have been, but that is not what the board did. The board expressly analyzed the very combination for four virtual issues. And please allow me, however, 6.5 minutes. I would like to then shift to the central control argument, which is an independent basis for the motivation argument. So, petitioner expressly relied on the central control program in Wisconsin. And I understand that on appeal they dispute that, but I would like
to... So is this really the case of the petitioner has made its argument? And I see some of the sites where they are citing parts of the Schlitzky that involve the central controller, I think. If they had argued this differently in the petition, that Gigan teaches all of this except for this specific type of buffer, and all we need is the concept of sliding windows from the Schlitzky, would we have a different case here?
We would have a different finding by the board, but in our patent on the response, we explained that even if that's all they had done, the petitioner wouldn't have been motivated to take Wisniewski's sliding windows without its central control. And
that's on the motivation issue. But if we put the motivation issue aside and assume there's motivation, and if the petition makes sense, look, he can teach us all of these things, including the buffers and the way we work for live streaming, and all you need is the concept of the sliding windows, which I think is what they're using for the specific type of buffer in your patent. Would that have disclosed everything in your view?
No, it would have been missing a different aspect of the motivation. So we are
going to talk about
motivation. No, I know, but
I'm not talking about motivation anymore. I'm talking about the actual thing. Because what I'm trying to get at is it seems to me that the board did see them as arguing a different, that they were arguing not just the only thing they needed from the Schlitzky was sliding windows, that they were pointing to other parts of it that included the central controller, and those things just didn't work. But if all they needed was the concept of the type of buffering the Schlitzky does, I'm not asking you to concede your case. I don't have to do that. But it does seem to me that if they argued it that way, we might be in a different posture, and you might have a much tougher case to defend on appeal, because it doesn't seem that the sliding windows are any different from what's claimed in your patent.
The sliding windows, the fact that there are windows, that aspect is not different. But the concept of why you would use a playout history buffer, that's what the claim is, it's a very different concept than a video on demand system. Because in a playout history buffer, you maintain the historical data. So you have the leading edge of the live broadcast, and you maintain the last few seconds so that when the new user comes, you can quickly catch them up. for a video on demand system, that concept doesn't exist. So which this case explains that you have those windows because you want to load the whole video so that the users can go to different points of the video. So the fact that there are both windows, that's correct. But they're not called starting windows in the claim for a reason, because the functionality and the use is very different. And also, let me then add just two points, if I may. If I may, please refer your honors to Appendix page 1946. That's petitioner's reply before the court. And let me quote it for you. The petition explained that a petitioner would have been motivated to combine the functionality from which this is stream servers and control servers. The functionality pure content is necessary to implement the Schlitzky study window into Geekens proxy devices. It can't be more clear than that. That's petitioner's reply before the board at Appendix page 1946, expressly saying that they are implementing the control service. Similarly, Appendix pages 1720 and 1721, petitioner annotates figure 2 from Schlitzky and it circles all the stream servers together with control servers, as corresponding to Geekens proxy servers. Also, Appendix pages 1694 and 1695, petitioner expressly relies on the admission control program in Schlitzky, which is implemented on the control server and is centralized. Now, why does that matter? That matters because if you're honest with at Appendix page 29, that's the board's decision, the board reads importantly, that's the sentence starts with, and importantly. One of the reasons that Vishkisi needs the central control is that some central program has to decide when a request comes in which of those sliding windows would be the proper one for the user. Now, what the board says is important is that in the petition, when the petitioner is trying to say how does the system determine whether we are going to use a pre-configured or a non-pre-configured cloud history buffer, it says that if you don't have a pre-configured cloud history buffer in your current proxy, you're going to send a request to a different proxy that has a non-pre-configured cloud history buffer. Now, how is that proxy server going to know which of these other proxies have a non-pre-configured cloud history buffer? It doesn't. That's why in Vishkisky you have a central control, because it keeps track of all these different proxies to then route the request to the proper proxy for that request, and petitioner expressly relied on that aspect to determine whether the request is going to be serviced from a pre-configured cloud history buffer on this proxy or from a non-pre-configured cloud history buffer on a different proxy. That's Appendix page 29, where the final written decision started with an important thing sentence recognized. So petitioner is expressly relying on the functionality of the central control in the petition. They confirm that in the reply, but then they didn't say if you are going to combine this central control with Geekens that makes decisions locally, how is that central control in Vishkisky going to function in a localized system like Geekens? And that's the fundamental flaw in the first independent basis drafting the decision that the petition didn't show. Does that answer your honest question? And
you're close,
so let me just quickly then final close by saying the board didn't misapprehend the combination. If your honors, for example, were to look at pages 29 and 30 of the appendix, the board says at the very least petitioner has not explained where these controller servers would be disposed in the combined system and how they would operate to control Geekens proxy code while implementing the functionality of which this is admission control program. So the board expressly considered the functionality, which is what the petitioner was trying to import, and found that the petitioner hasn't shown even how that centralized functionality is going to operate in Geekens localized system. If that is there any questions, I would be happy to answer.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Professor Williams, we have a little less than 3 minutes. We'll give you 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to address two issues. First, with respect to the board's factual finding regarding whether there's a motivation to combine these references. Again, that the only place the board says anything that even hints at a factual finding on that point is the sentence on page 31. The only evidence cited there is one paragraph from their expert's declaration.
That paragraph has nothing to do with the actual combination that was proposed. All that paragraph says is that you wouldn't have VCR functionality if you were doing a live stream. That's completely irrelevant to the combination we're proposing. All we were saying is that you would use the Schlitzky sliding window to implement the buffer that is already in Gagan. Gagan already does live streaming with a buffer. The question is, how would you go about implementing that buffer? And a circular buffer was a totally legitimate and advantageous way.
Tell us where in the petition we could find that you clearly said that and only that.
Okay. I guess the best place to, you know, obviously the petition says other things because there's other arguments, but I think to address your question most fairly, I would point to page 63 of our petition. That's on appendix page 1722. And I can just read it. A PASITA would have been further motivated to apply Vyshlitsky's techniques for the buffer of Gagan because Gagan describes shared memory that is used to store data packets for live streaming content and logical queues, while Vyshlitsky describes an advantageous implementation of a buffer for storing video data streams in a sliding window that is maintained as a simple circular queue, thereby indicating to a PASITA that the implementation details of Vyshlitsky are directly applicable and advantageous in implementing the buffer of Gagan. And then there's another paragraph, another sentence that talks about why there would be an expectation of success that essentially says the same thing.
So let's just assume for the sake of argument that those words are the simple best possible combination from your perspective, as Judge Hughes was outlining, perhaps. Is it an abuse of discretion for the board to not head-on address that argument when you surround it with a whole bunch of other arguments that I think you have to concede you did make about central control and about other issues?
Well, I mean, just the word central control appears nowhere in the petition.
Well, central server, you constantly rely on the central server.
We don't rely, we disagree with that, but we rely on it.
Okay, I understand you disagree, but is it an abuse of discretion
if
the board fails to see that small seam that you just pointed to?
Well, I mean, it's the whole basis of, and the reply goes into great length explaining how the board was getting it wrong from the, if they were reading Pat Number's argument. So I don't think it's a small seam. That was the entire basis of the combination. And again, if you look at the way we map the other elements to Gagan, it's clear Gagan itself already teaches the allocation of the buffers. It already teaches a pre-configured buffer because it teaches a second user who's coming along to ask for a stream that was already in the buffer, right? So all that's in the petition. I think it is an abuse of discretion for the board not to analyze that.
Is it your argument that the board misinterpreted the petition at the institution stage or later in the final written determination?
I think only in the final written determination. In fact, the board seems to acknowledge that it got it wrong, that it changed its view after the institution.
So the board says that, based on the full record, they said that they agree with Soundview with, and I'm quoting, now understand petitioner's combination to include more control aspects than the listing than we previously recognized. Is that the misapprehension?
For sure, that was strong evidence.
The board changed its mind, or rather it altered its view between the institutions. Now, the board can do that, can it?
I mean, it can change its view about its factual findings. What it can't do is change the combination and the rationale for the combination that the petition presented. It was obligated to analyze that combination.
The board can change its view.
Yes. The board can make can change its views on claim construction and on factual findings, but that's not what happened here. It changed its view as to what the petition was asking for.
That's the misrepresentation and the misapprehension that you're arguing.
Yes, yeah. That the board misunderstood what our combination was and didn't analyze that then.
And
analyzed
the board has a right to do that.
No,
as long as it's supported by substantial evidence.
No, I disagree with you. Okay. The board has an obligation to consider the grounds we put forth in our petition and to answer that question, not a different one.
But from that point, from institution to final written determination, the board has the discretion to change its view.
On some things, but not on what the question before it was.
It can change its view as long as it's supported by substantial evidence.
It can change its factual findings, yes. That's correct. As long as they're supported.
Counselor, that's what happened here.
Oh, I disagree, because, again, the only factual finding that is relevant is the one that says there would be no buffer used in a live streaming service.
Okay.
And that's unsupported by any of the evidence in the case, because Gagan already has a buffer for doing exactly that.
Okay.
I've got way over. I apologize.
No, that was good. We have your argument, and we have the argument of the parties, and we thank you for that. This case will now be taken under advisement.